StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today's interview is sponsored by Startup Raven, the easiest way to meet new cooperation partners and investors. You can register for early access down here in the show notes, www.startupraven.com. That said, I would like to welcome Thomas here again. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Here, I'm Thomas of Deep Ecosystems. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you here. Our audience may remember that you are a repeating guest here, and actually we are just kicking off a cooperation with this interview here. And what we are doing is giving you a little bit oversight of the European startup ecosystem, because you guys are actually tracking single hubs within Europe. How many cities are you currently tracking?
Yeah, we're tracking around 120 cities in Europe. And so we're tracking everything from investment data to exits, job creation by startups, different verticals, what's happening in the meetup space, what are the accelerators doing. So all of that can be found on our website, the Startup Heat Map, that I presented the last time already. And we can talk about the findings today.
Yes. And for your subscribing members, that's most of the time, I would assume, corporates, investors, and the cities themselves.
Yes, we work with ecosystem builders. So people that are developing the ecosystems, we help them to get an understanding of the trends happening locally, but also globally, to compare against others, understand opportunities, develop strategies to grow their ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. And they are helping you. So admittedly, do we. Not only will this be the first kickoff of a series of interviews, so we give you guys quarterly startups on the together with a deep ecosystem. And there will be some show notes down here in the links. There is a link down here below wherever you're listening to this or watching this. There is a link and there will be a presentation, a PDF, where you can actually look at the data again that we are sharing here. So that said, you can expect at least four more interviews together, most likely with Thomas and me, even though you're not the only one working there, because I assume tracking 120 cities, even though you can automate a lot, I assume it's a hell lot of work.
Yes, actually, we are a little bit of a larger team. So we have a lot of analysts with us. We do also a lot of manual analysis. So data collection is based on third parties. Data that we aggregate and analyze, but also we collect some data that's hard to get by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So for example, when we look at accelerators and their participants, that is data that is really not available in any database. So we create our own and we track the activities of the accelerators in these cities very timely each quarter to analyze what's happening. Is there shifts and trends? Who do they accept? Who do they invest in? How much do they invest? How much equity do they take? Mm-hmm. Are they focusing more on female founders now? Is it more on clean tech, et cetera? So depending on the data, we need to do it ourselves or we do it with data providers from the outset.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see. And ahead of me, I have here the report for your fourth quarter. But before we get into that, you are called Startup Heat Map Europe. And I assume you have not been focusing on generating startup maps during your university studies. So how on earth did you end up with this job and this company?
Exactly. So the Startup Heat Map has been around for 6 years. It's been an initiative by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. So around 20 entrepreneurs have come together to start this mapping. One year ago, we took this over into a professional company, which is called Deep Ecosystems, that is supporting the growth of ecosystems worldwide. And the Startup Heatmap Europe is one of our products. It's basically the backbone of our data unit. And yeah, of course, the Startup Heatmap Europe now is European, but in the future, there might be also startup heatmaps in Latin America, in Southeast Asia, in Africa, or what you can imagine. I studied a lot around cities. I was studying economics and politics, and I focused on city development already in my studies. So if you will, I started during my university times to look at rankings of cities and indicators on the economic growth of cities already then. I did a detour, let's say, into the startup world. So my whole professional life for the last 10 years, I've been in the startup industry. I've been an investor for the past 5 years. Before that, I was with Microsoft in the startup world, and before that at the University in Munich, where we worked a lot with deep tech startups and spin-offs from the university. So yeah, I've been through and through focusing for the last decade on this topic, and I'm very glad that I can work with such an exciting topic as cities as well, because cities are really where the future is being created, and I think the time of nation states is kind of over. So cities are really at the focus of our attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, since you're already doing this for 6 years now, soon seven, I assume, I would be wondering, what are really good forecast factors? For example, let's say the seed rounds. If there's an uptick in seed rounds, is this really a promise that this hub, this city will thrive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is very difficult. I mean, we have seen over the time some ecosystems grow fast. So one of them was Lisbon in Lisbon in Portugal. And we detected that really early on. Actually, when we started about 6-7 years ago, we had an uptick in our data on Lisbon. And we were like, okay, that is strange. Is there something, or are we wrong? Because no one at that time was talking about Lisbon. And over time, we saw actually, yeah, these indicators of, for example, popularity among founders, where would they move, are quite indicative of future growth, because talent is a driver of this kind of developments. So, and when talent aggregates in your city, you have a high chance that this will actually lead to future growth. It's not a guarantee. It might be also that you have a lot of talent influx, but then they are not becoming successful startup entrepreneurs. The seed rounds, they are a little bit closer to what you would call like a lagging factor, because in the end, the investments in seed rounds are already an output, right? So if you see investors coming and putting money into startups, that's most likely already the effect of something you have done. But in that sense, it is pretty likely that after increased seed rounds, you will also see increased later stage rounds. So I would expect also Series A rounds to go up after the seed rounds and so forth. So I think that is closely connected, and there's a correlation between the two, yes.
I see. Let us dive a little bit in. Everybody who's watching this as a video can see what I'm seeing here. For everybody who is just listening to it as an audio podcast, go down here in the show notes. If you're listening to this on our internet radio station, go to www.startuprate.io and look for Startup Heat Map. Let's have a look here. What we are seeing, right? So basically, we start out with the investments on the interactive chart that I have here, and a strong Q2 with the amount equivalent to the sum of three quarters of 2020. So what should this tell us? The people who can see that London is the number one in like investments in cities. Paris is number two. We're talking about equity investments, right?
Yes, these are equity mm-hmm. investments.
Paris is number two. Berlin is number three. And then we have Amsterdam and Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think these are not necessarily sorted in rankings. It might be that Berlin actually leads before Berlin before Paris, but it's changing places all the time. So you basically see London on the top, and then behind it's Paris, Berlin, quarter to quarter, one or the other is better. Mm-hmm. And these are the three leaders in the terms of investments, and then this is by a far margin, you find then the others afterwards, which are Stockholm and Amsterdam, changing orders as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, in general, the main message that you should take from that data is that 2021 was really an exceptional year. After 2020 had stagnant growth compared to 2019, 2021 saw a 150% increase of startup investments in Europe. So 1.5 times as much investments as the year before, absolute records. Basically, Q2 was almost the volume of the whole year 2020. So in 3 months, you had as many investments as you had in the year before, which had basically the same level as all the years before. So there was a boom. There was really a boom in investments. And that was remarkable. Basically, it was not obvious that after the pandemic, basically, you would see such a strong recovery.
Mm-hmm. I just aggregated the news because soon the month will be over, and I always track interesting startup news from the German-speaking area, like GSA, Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. And I've noticed that there is already a 10 billion startup program running in Germany that should slowly pick up speed, that should become active pretty soon. We talked to Mr. Jatzombek last year in summer about it, and we already have a request out there for his replacements from the current government, but no confirmation yet. Then there is the initiative of Germany, and I do believe France, for another 10 billion program. Then we do have Mr. Lindner, who is the Secretary of Finance in Germany and also head of the Liberal Party in Germany, a member of the coalition government. So he has a lot to say. He's also finance minister, and he was just in the news that he wanted to hand out 1 billion euros for scale-ups. Do you think those numbers will drive the startup investment in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is a lot of government money in the market already, and it's not going to decrease over time since there is many initiatives. You listed a few. There's always the question, how much of these announcements will actually turn into reality. But we have seen in the past that, for example, the EIF, the European Investment Fund, has been used often to manage these funds. That's also how they accrued a lot of competence in this area. And the EIF is generally seen by professionals in the startup world as a good manager of these public funds. So in the end, we see that it works, that there is a professional fund management with a good understanding of the market workings and dynamics investing these kind of funds. And then, yes, it is really just an increase of the available capital for startups, and it will have like a positive effect. Of course, public money comes with strings attached. And that's something that many players in the startup ecosystem see with also a worrying eye. If you look, for example, at the discussion that you have around the European Innovation Council, which is more like an accelerator type of model, which is also in cooperation with the EIF and investing in startups in an earlier stage or a Series A stage. There is a lot of questions around whether the model, how the money is invested and the requirements that the startups have to fulfill are actually market standard, if they're actually helpful for the startups, or if there's also some slowing factor in that because public money works differently than private money. So it's not easy to say if public money can be seen as equivalent to just the private capital. There's, of course, also the argument that public funding goes into areas that private funding is not seeing. If you look, for example, at hardware, it's something that classic VCs with more private LPs have shied away mostly over the years, and they are not investing in hardware or also high tech that has a long time to market, high development costs, etc. That's where public funding is being used a lot, and I think for these kind of startups that are in this area, especially clean tech, batteries, you will see an advantage from public funding. In other places, maybe the private funding would be preferable because it's more flexible, faster moving. So you will maybe not see like the kind of platform successes that you have seen in the US over the last decade from public funding in Europe. I think that's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Talking about funding, you collected largest deals in Q4 2021. Berlin on top with two fundings, N26, Series E, $900 million, and Flink, the quick delivery startup with a Series B of $750 million. Then there's Barcelona. Then there's Sweden. They are likely Netlight, not located in a big city. We do have a capital on tap in London. And what really surprised me was $555 million Series A in Malta. That is quite a big investment for such a small and beautiful island. Ioniti, growth equity in Munich. Energy. Then there's London again, Monzo. Then there's Madrid, Job and Talent. And then there's Quanto in Paris, which is actually quite a few surprises in there. I would have expected London to be a little bit more on top with bigger fundings, right?
Yes. This is surprising. And it's also not the picture we got used to. So there's changes. In the top 10, we more often see large rounds in unlikely places. Like, Malta has been, of course, a place where many fintech and also gaming/gambling companies have had their headquarters. So you have seen some of the larger rounds going to Malta also in the past. So they popped up once in a while. But here, yeah, that is something that that definitely speaks for the Maltese ecosystem, at least in terms of headquarters. I don't know the case if they are really based in Malta, if their team is really there, or if it's more of a choice for where to put your headquarters.
Mm-hmm. You talked about cities, and that was something that really was interesting for me. And we are now looking at a map of Europe. By the way, you cannot find all the data we're sharing here on the data you can get from your link. You have to be a subscriber of the Deep ecosystem. But nonetheless, there were 3 years average funding you ranked the cities by. And of course, there's London, there's Berlin, mm-hmm. there's Paris, there's Tel Aviv, Stockholm, Amsterdam, and then there's already Munich. What really surprised me was Madrid, Helsinki, and Dublin finishing this list. That was quite surprising for me because I haven't had them, like, say, on my mental radar as startup hubs, at least so far.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what we often realize when we look at the data and we do really a clean analysis of what the data means. Then we find results that are surprising to some practitioners, because unfortunately we are bombarded with a lot of marketing data out there and rankings that are made to make us believe something. While if we use, for example, a simple metric here that creates some clarity, which is who has on 3 years average raised, how much did they raise on 3 years average? So mm-hmm. every year, past 3 years, and then the average, you will see that there's around 8 cities in Europe that managed to raise 1 billion euros per year every year on average. And I think that's a simple metric that you can put up there. We call this the unicorn ecosystem. Just because it's 1 billion, and we say this is a city that regularly raises more than 1 billion euros. And there's only eight in Europe. And these eight might also be a bit surprising. For example, Munich. You said Munich, you wouldn't have put them there. But Munich is actually one of the fastest growing ecosystems in Europe. It has a long-term investment growth of over 700%. So that is the growth of that three-year average. And that puts them into this top list. 2 years ago, they didn't have 1 billion in investments per year. But now they are far beyond that result. So it is important that we try to understand the real numbers and create a geography in our mind that actually matches the reality. And yes, Madrid, Helsinki, and Dublin, they are there. They are close to this 1 billion, the closest, closer than others. Dublin has on average 660 million, Helsinki 680 million per year, Madrid 800 million per year. So these are hubs that are on the way to get to this ecosystem unicorn status. Mm-hmm.
What actually surprised the hell out of me just next to it was the long-term investment growth, because on top there are three cities, Prague, Bucharest, Minsk, that are maybe Minsk, I get a lot of outreach from there for startups and coding services, but the other two I would not have put there. Really actually surprising. Yes. Also, Utrecht, I've heard in the Netherlands, it's very nice. Of course, Munich, you already said, more than 700% long-term investment growth. Düsseldorf, also in Germany, more than 600% long-term growth. Amsterdam, 600%. Frankfurt, 560%. Woo, home turf. And then there's Antwerp. I do believe they're in Belgium, famous for diamond trading, right? And Tallinn in...
Diamonds and fashion.
Sorry?
Diamonds and fashion.
Diamonds and fashion. Tallinn and, of course, Tel Aviv. Very interesting. That means Eastern Europe is growing pretty fast, and that's a good thing to happen, right?
Yes, you see these super large growth rates in places that, of course, had a low level of investments before. However, for this statistic, we filtered. I think the threshold was that they had at least 200 million annual investments before, so that the growth in, still is telling us something. Of course, if you had no investments, or I don't know, a couple of thousands, and now you have a billion, like Bucharest with UiPath, you have, of course, a huge jump in investments because of UiPath, and that put Bucharest there. But it's not the only case. So there's other startups there as well that have increased the fundraising. And so Bucharest has really made itself a hub that is getting closer to the top. Of course, wasn't in the top 10 in the total numbers. No, it was not close to those yet.
That is what I would call the PayPal effect, also famous for the PayPal mafia. It's basically people who have been at PayPal and then started successful companies. You see the same effect here, for example, in Berlin, N26, former N26 employees starting new companies. And I do believe UiPath is also such a center of growth. And I do believe they're more. They're important for teaching the skills. Plus, I do believe exits are also important, because that that floods a city with investment money. And I do believe some of the exits that we've seen, for example, last year in Frankfurt, they'll also push the ecosystem further. Talking about pushing the ecosystem further here, we are now at the seed investments, and you track the number of these between $500,000 and $2 million, and it goes a little bit up and down, but actually I would have expected a much bigger bump during the times of Corona.
Bump up or down?
Down.
Okay, good. Yes, the seed investments are quite stable. They are rather declining over time. So year over year in 2021, you had minus 13%. Of course, there's a certain reporting lag. Of course, you have reports on smaller seed rounds only later. But even if you go back, the data here reaches 2019, you don't see a big difference. So it's not that this reporting lag makes it completely different. Mm-hmm. So the surprising thing to me is that seed is quite stable, while later stage is crazy, going through the roof. Basically, you have 150% increase of investments in later stage, and then you look at seed, and seed is just not doing anything. Mm-hmm. It's just staying there, even declining a bit. And I mean, that for me personally looks like a problem.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's going in wafers, as we said, seed successful companies, and then it takes some time until people drop out and then start their own business again. Maybe we will see. Your data, I'm sure, will show in 20 years or something. Talking a little bit about top hubs here, London minus 4% in terms of seed funding, Paris minus 9%, Amsterdam plus 84%, Berlin minus 11%, and Stockholm minus 42%. Do you have any indications what led to the bump up in Amsterdam and the bump down in Stockholm?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the interesting thing is that the trend, the overall trend of a slight decrease, is also seen in the cities. But then in Amsterdam, for example, where you had this huge increase also of the total funding, you see that it's parallelly going up also for seed funding. So that for Amsterdam looks very, very healthy. So the ecosystem in Amsterdam seems to be in a good shape, and the indicators go in parallel up. While in Stockholm, you have a huge increase in funding, which is driven by a few startups that raise a lot of money. So, for example, Klarna and Northvolt, which are exceptional great success stories and rightfully put Stockholm on the map as the place that has a lot of unicorns per capita and is really punching above its weight, but also shows the problem that sustaining that over time is extremely hard if you have a small ecosystem, if you don't keep the funnel up, if you don't have enough seed stage investments. It will be difficult to have these high growth success stories at the end. So I think that for it really depends on city by city. The general trend is stable seed funnel, maybe decreasing a bit. That will be a problem down the road. 4 or 5 years, you will see also that we have difficulties in finding so many success stories. And in places that are decreasing strongly in seed funnel, you will have less large rounds also in the future. So I would say if that persists for a city, it will also disappear from our map in total funding.
Mm-hmm. We are not even half through the report you have been sharing with us. The last thing I want to talk about here is early stage investments by sectors, especially talking about a four quarter graph you shared here with us, percentage of deals and deal sins. So that's basically the more deals, the higher the percentage of the deals, the more they are growing.
Yes, exactly. Here we look at, is there a change year over year versus the long-term position of that sector in the startup world? So since 2019, 3 years back, fintech is really one of the sectors that receives a lot of investments. So that's why they are vertically very high up. And then the question is, does it also grow? Do we also see in 2021, is it like a higher amount in 2021 than in the other years? And yes, that's the case. So fintech is high up and still growing. So that's why it's in the stable growth sectors quadrant. The upcoming growth sectors, for them, the position is they are not so so large in the last 3 years. So they are not like a super important sector yet, but they have a strong growth. So last year was exceptionally strong for them. So if you see the most right-hand side, you see cleantech, the bubble on the center. Yes. Mm-hmm. So cleantech in 2021 was an extremely strong year. And that means it's coming up in terms of growth. It has a increase over time. And it's really like an upcoming growth sector. And there's quite a few of those growth sectors that we can identify here, with education, for example,
fashion,
also home and living,
sports, mobility,
yes, fashion,
yes, biotech, life science, yes, okay, logistics. Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So these are the sectors that have grown in the last year versus the 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I see. As we promised our audience, we will have you back for at least 4 more interviews. We'll share some data with a presentation. You'll provide us with a link down here in the show notes, or you'll find it on our blog, because we're already talking for more than 30 minutes. And I do believe for everybody who's just listening on an audio podcast, this gets pretty tiring. Guys, go on YouTube, look for the video, and you'll see we're always sharing some graphs along with that. Thomas, would you like to share 1 or 2 more highlights from your report as final closing remarks of this podcast cooperation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I can just say as a summary that we see a lot of dynamics in the ecosystems now. So the question of geography is changing a lot. It's not the case anymore that only London and Berlin and Paris are on top there. There is these breakthroughs of other places. And I think we will see a lot of democratization of innovation in the future. There is a race, smaller hubs coming up. Your hometown, Frankfurt, is trying everything they can. We see Lisbon there. We see Bucharest. So it's very exciting times now. This kind of democratization process is not only exciting for politicians who can brag about it, it's also exciting for founders who are in these places and maybe decide either to move to another hub that's booming or stay in their place and help to build it up and help to put it on the map. So I think it's one of the most exciting times of this startup development. And so I love to follow it and happy to join again this podcast and explain more about the data we collect.
Everybody who has questions now still open, questions about the data or questions we should be covering in our next recording, reach out to me, joe@startuprate.io, and we'll consider it for the next reporting. Guys, thank you very much. Thomas, thank you very much. Looking forward to have you back in, let's say, approximately 3 months.
Thank you very much. It's been fun as always. Thank you, Joe.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.